If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 12. I've been real excited about preaching this morning. I just couldn't wait to get here to preach this message today. And if I was going to title my message today, it would be "A Miracle is Knocking at Your Door." Amen? How many believe that a miracle is knocking at your door today? Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you on that subject. So if you have your Bibles, turn to me to Acts chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 12. And it goes like this: "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. There were many gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken by the name of Rhoda. And she knew Peter's voice. And she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.'" Isn't that something? "Thou art mad. But Peter continually knocking. And when they went and opened the door, they saw him and was astonished." Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you would just anoint your servant today to preach, Lord, this message, oh Lord, the way that you gave it to me. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would just flow through us, oh God, and touch our lives, anoint our ears to hear today. Let something good begin to take place in our lives, oh God. Let faith arise in us, oh Lord. And I pray, God, that we would expect you to do something wonderful in our lives in this place today. And we give you all glory and all praise in the name of Jesus, we ask you today. Amen and amen. Let me give you a little background about this story we just read. Herod, the king, was persecuting the church very severely at this time. He had already killed James, the brother of John, and by beheading him. How many realize that'll send shivers up your spine when you see your friends getting their head chopped off? Amen? It sent horror through the entire church. And that's what was happening. So Herod had James, the brother of John, killed, and it pleased the Jews that were stirring up strife against this new religion that had come about, and it pleased them. And so because it pleased them, Herod had Peter arrested and was going to have his head separated from his shoulders also. I mean, you know what I'm talking about today. And we see him, and that is the context, and where was it? Because he planned to kill him also. But I love what verse 5 says in chapter 12. It says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." How many believe in prayer today? Amen. Praise God. Here you have Peter, who is in this jail cell, not knowing when they were going to come and separate his head from his shoulders. And he was there, but yet the church went to prayer. I'm so glad that we have a praying church today. Can you say a good amen? We have a praying church. I'm telling you, we get calls all the time that says, "Brother Rick, can you put this on the prayer chain?" And we send out a text, amen, and all of a sudden we have people responding. We're praying. We're praying right now, praying for that healing, praying for God to do this, praying for God to do that. Let me tell you, when the church prays, how many realize things begin to happen, amen? Praise the Lord. We're excited about that thing. And on the night that Herod had planned to kill Peter, you know what we find Peter doing? I love this. We don't find Peter being afraid. We don't find him shivering in the corner somewhere. We don't see him all upset and all full of anxiety. You know what we see Peter doing? We see him sleeping. How many of you know he's at rest? Amen? Because he understood to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Amen? So death to him was no big thing. Here he was chained between two guards, and here he was laying down, peaceful sleep. Oh, and there were guards chained to him. There were guards at the door. Let me just read to you a little bit about here, starting at verse 7 in chapter 12. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him." Can I tell you something? When you and I begin to seek the face of the Lord, I believe that God begins to dispatch angels. Can you say a good amen? Hallelujah. It says that the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a bright light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. He had to wake Peter up. And he says, "Rise up," saying, "Rise up quickly." and his chains fell off of his hands. Isn't that a miracle? The chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird up thyself and bind on thy sandals. He had to get up and put his shoes on. I love that. Here he is sleeping between two soldiers, and the angel of the Lord approaches him and says, hey, wake up. Wake up, Peter. I'm here to deliver you. And he says, get up and put your clothes on and put your shoes on. We're getting out of here. Amen. And that's exactly what was taking place. And he did so. And he said unto him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. Now, Peter is so, he was in such a deep sleep. He didn't know if he was dreaming this or if this was actually happening. Have you ever been in that kind of sleep? Where you didn't know if you was awake or if you were dreaming. And that's where Peter was at. He didn't know if this was an angel or if he was just seeing him in a vision. And it goes, and when they were past the first gate, ward, they came unto the iron gate. Listen to this. I love this. That led into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Isn't that amazing? You know, you can just picture that in your mind. Here's Peter and them. The chains fall off of Peter. The door opens up and there's guards on the outside, and they walk right past these guards. They walk right past that prison, out of the prison, and they walk up into this gate that is there locked for the city. And as they approach the gate, nobody opens the gate. Nobody goes and unlocks the gate, but the gate opens by itself. Isn't that incredible? How many realize that's a miracle? That is a miracle. And it goes on and says, and they went out and they passed through on one street and went forth with the angel, and the angel departed him. That's an incredible story. This is a story about a miracle. How many realize that? The church went to pray, and when the church began to pray, things began to happen. Here Peter is in jail, not knowing whether he's going to live or die. And what does God do? God intervenes on him and does something miraculous. Let me read verse 11. It says, and when Peter was come to himself, he finally woke up and he said, I know for surely that the Lord has sent his angels and hath delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all of the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And there they were gathered together praying. They were praying for Peter. How many realize that? And it goes on to say, and Peter knocked at the gate. Can you imagine? He's knocking at the gate. Now let's stop there just for a minute. Hallelujah. The miracle was knocking on the door. How many realize that? Peter had just become a miracle. God had performed something supernatural in a miracle in his life, and now the miracle is knocking at the door. I want you to get that this morning, amen? Here he's knocking on the door, and it goes on to say that there is a damsel named Rhoda who comes, and when she gets there, I can imagine that Peter's knocking, and he's saying, let me in, let me in, it's Peter, let me in. And she recognizes his voice. How many know that you can recognize people's voice, you know? And she got so excited, rather than opening the door, you know what she did? She ran back and told him, Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door. And you know what their response were? Have you lost your mind? Peter is in jail. He's going to be killed. That's why we're praying. And she's saying, oh, no, 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 no. He is at the door. And then they said, well, she must have saw an angel. They still didn't believe that it was Peter at the door. But it goes on and it says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. And she consistently affirmed that it was even so. And they said, this is his angel. But Peter continually knocked, amen? And when they had opened the door, listen to this, they saw him and they were astonished. I think that's kind of ironic, don't you? That here you have a church that's going to prayer and they're praying and they're seeking God on behalf of Peter who's in jail because they know that he's about to lose his head, and they're praying and they're seeking God, and then when the miracle shows up and knocks at the door, they don't believe it's happened. How many know what I'm talking about? They don't believe it's happened. They're praying and they earnest pray. Aren't you glad that God answers people's prayers who don't believe sometime? Amen. But he was praying and they were praying and he's knocking on the door. Hallelujah. Oh, here the church is praying for a miracle and God answers their prayer and delivers Peter in a miraculous way. And when he gets to Mary's house where they're holding the prayer meeting, Peter's knocking on the door and they hear the voice of Peter and they're saying, it can't be him. And when the people were praying for the miracle, they said, you're crazy. You're crazy. While Peter was knocking. I would submit to you this morning, if you and I are going to experience a miracle from God, how many here want to experience a miracle from God? Just two or three people? I figured everybody would want to experience a miracle from God. If you're going to experience a miracle from God, the first thing that you have to do is you have to be open to the possibility that God wants to do it in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We have to be open to it. I believe a lot of times that we're not open to it. We pray, we seek God, but in our heart of hearts sometimes we think that it's impossible, just like these people did. It can't be Peter because he's in jail. No, no, no. You pray that God would deliver him and you should expect him to knock on the door. I believe a lot of times that a miracle is knocking at our door and we just don't open the door to let the miracle come into our lives. How many realize that? You've been praying. You've been seeking God. You've been believing that God was going to do it. But the door is still shut. The door is still closed. And the miracle is knocking. The miracle is knocking. I got to tell you this morning, you've got to believe. Hallelujah. You got to be open to the fact that God wants to do a miracle in your life. You got to be open to it. And you got to open the door to a miracle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe that that miracle is knocking this morning. If you and I are going to see God do the miraculous, we first must come and be open for it to happen and be open to it. But when you do, let me tell you something. When you say, hey, I believe God can do, and I believe that God can bring a miracle into my life, when you step out in faith and you begin to declare that you believe that the miracle is knocking on your door and that you believe that God's going to do a miracle in your life, can I tell you there'll always be people who'll tell you that you're crazy for thinking that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have a lot of patience with a lot of things. But one thing I have very little patience with is people who believe that the days of miracles are over with. It just doesn't make any sense. If God was a God of miracles in the Old Testament and God was a God of the miracle in the New Testament, you tell me why in the world would He change? Amen? Can I tell you something? The God in the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, and the God today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People will call you a fanatic if you start talking like that. If you say, I believe that God's going to do a miracle, I'm trusting God to do something, people will say you're a fanatic. Let me give you a definition of a fanatic, okay? First definition is this. If you call somebody a fanatic, you know what that means? It means they love God more than you do. Amen. But the definition of a fanatic is this. Is someone who believes God that he can do what he says he can do and will do what he said he could do. Amen. When it comes to God, you can believe it. Amen. We serve a big God. Amen. And I think so many times in our lives that we serve, we think God is just too small to take care of all of our problems. Let me tell you something. When God intervenes in my life, you know what that's called? It's called a miracle. It's called a miracle. When it comes to what God can do, believe me, He can do it. Because the Bible tells us that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, well, Pastor, I believed in it and it didn't happen. You ever been around those kind of people? I believed, I trusted, and it didn't happen. Didn't happen. Listen to me this morning. Just because God didn't do it last year or just because God didn't do it last month, or just because God didn't do it yesterday, amen, or last week, doesn't mean that God can't do it this year, amen, and that God can't do it, hallelujah, tomorrow, or God can't do it even today, before we get out of this place today. God can do a miracle in our lives. Just because He didn't do it then, doesn't mean He won't do it now, hallelujah. Why? Because God will do what He wants to do on His timetable and not on our timetable. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But we have to believe that we have the things that we ask for. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you open to a fresh word of God today? Are you open to hear from God this morning? Are you open to the miraculous in your life? Are you open to a miracle in your life this morning? I believe that we miss miracles in our lives because we just haven't been open to them. We cannot resist, listen to me, the possibilities of what God wants to do in my life and in your life. Amen. We can't resist that. We might not understand how God does it. We might not understand how He works in our lives. But you and I cannot resist the things that God wants to do in our life. Because when you resist, let me tell you something, God begins to get pushed back. Amen? And God wants to do a miracle. And you're pushing Him back and you're saying, I don't believe you work like this. Well, let me tell you something. If you read the Bible, God worked in so many mysterious ways. Amen? Hallelujah. We talked the other night at church where Jesus spit in the ground and made mud pies and slapped them in a man's eyeballs. Let me tell you something. If I spit in the ground and make mud balls and put them on your eyes, you know what you would do to me? You would say, that guy's gone crazy. Get him out of here. You know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. God doesn't always do the things that we think that He'll do in the way we think He'll do it. But I tell you, we can't resist it. We have to come with our minds open to the idea that God wants to do the impossible in my life, within my church, amen, and even in my city. Can I tell you something? We're in a city that needs a miracle from God, amen. We got people that are lost and going to hell, left and right, and there needs to be a miracle that takes place to bring them to the foot of the cross. Can you say amen? I believe that God is looking for someone that will be open to the supernatural, someone that is open to the possibilities of the miraculous in their lives. 2 Chronicles 16:19 says this, "For the eye of the Lord runs to and fro upon the whole earth, seeking, looking to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart are perfect toward them." What does that verse tell me? The verse tells me that God is looking for somebody. Somebody that says, God, I'll believe in the possibility that You can do the miraculous in my life. God's looking for those people. He's saying, let me find someone. My eyes are going across this earth. And when I find one, there's one right there that'll believe me and take me at His word. And I'm going to do a miracle in his life. His eyes go to and fro, searching that someone He can show Himself strong to on behalf of those hearts who are perfect toward Him. God is looking for someone who will simply be open to a miracle in their life. Let me ask you this morning, are you open to a miracle in your life this morning? Are you open to a miracle in your life this morning? Or is your mind closed down to say, no, God don't work that way. God don't do it that way. I got a certain way that I think God ought to work. No, let me tell you, you've got to be open that God wants to do a miracle in your life. You know, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses sent out 12 spies into the land of promise. How many remember that? Remember, he sent out the 12 spies. And did you know when they came back, the 12 came back, hallelujah, and the Bible says they came back with an evil report. Now, it wasn't just a bad report. It was an evil report. How many know there's a big difference? You know, a bad report is, Mom and Dad, I took the car out last night and I got in a little fender bender. That's a bad report, amen? But an evil report is, Mom and Dad, when I got home last night, I had run over 3 people and wrecked the car, and it's total, it's in the bottom of a ditch somewhere, and I'm going to jail. That's an evil report. Amen. You know, how many realize that evil is pretty close to the devil? And that's what God said their report was. Their report was evil. You know what? If you put a D in front of evil, you know what you get? Devil. You get a devil. Amen? And that's exactly what these people did. They came back and they gave an evil report. You know what they said? They said, oh, it's everything that you said it was, but. I mean, what I mean? But they're giants in the land. Not only are there giants in the land, the people of that land are strong. They're mighty. And their cities are surrounded with great walls. And the Bible says that God called that an evil report. An evil. Why was it an evil report? Because they were not open for God to do the miraculous in spite of what was there, in spite of the giants, in spite of the walls, in spite of the people. He was looking for somebody that would say, yes, we're more than able. And there was only two people out of all of them that said we could do it. Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb said this, I love it. He said, let us go up at once. He said, let's don't wait. Let's go. Let's go and let's possess it right now. For we are well able to overcome it. How many realize that Caleb was open for God to do something supernatural. We've got to get open to the possibilities that God wants to do the impossible. Amen. And when we do, all limitations have to go. How many realize that? You got to get rid of that word but in your vocabulary if you're going to expect God to do a work. Amen? I've had people come to the altar for prayer and I'd say, what can I pray for? And they'd say, well, I've got an incurable disease. You know, God, it can't be cured. I think, why are you up here getting prayer then? You know what I'm saying? People say, oh, well, I would do this, but... How many realize that? You got to cut that. Two words you are to cut out of your dictionary. That word but and the word impossible. They should not be in the vocabulary, amen, of a born-again believer that expects God to do the supernatural in his life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And listen to what they said. We are more than able, he said. It wasn't the giants that kept Israel out of the promised land. How many realize that? It wasn't the giants. It wasn't the city walls. It wasn't the people that kept them out. You know what it was? It was unbelief. It was closed-minded people that kept them out of the promised land. And that generation died in the wilderness and they never saw what God had prepared for them because they were not open to the possibility that God wanted to do something supernatural through them. Amen. And bring them into their land. Hallelujah. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. I love this passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scriptures in the Bible. What you find is you find Jonathan and his armor bearer. They're out walking. And Jonathan says to the armor bearer, let me read it to you. He says, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. And I love this part. He says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. He said, perhaps God will work for us here. And he says, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. What does he say? He said, it doesn't matter that there's just two of us. That there's no concern to God. He said, let's go over there and perhaps, just maybe the Lord will work through us. I love that. Jonathan is open for God to do the impossible. You know what Jonathan feels here? He's feeling the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit? Oh, listen, that's how God usually talks to me. It's not through usually some audible voice. It's not through some thunder and lightning. It's just a little nudge. You know what I'm talking about? A nudge to do something out of the ordinary. That's what a nudge is, amen? And here we see these men. Jonathan is open. The people who are open to God to do the impossible understands the nudging of the Holy Spirit. I felt it before. You can't say, well, God told me. How many know what I'm talking about? You can't say God told me. It's more like an impression. Have you ever got that impression of the Holy Spirit to do something? It's kind of like that gentle push to do something out of the ordinary. How many know it's kind of like a feeling that you get? Amen? You ever been in Walmart and God give you a little nudge? And you begin to go, oh God. And God may be speaking to you just an impression. just a small, still small voice that says, hey, talk to this individual, or be nice to this person, or pay for this individual's groceries. How are you talking? Am I talking to somebody today? That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. You know what? What you say then is you say, maybe God is in this. You ever been there? Maybe God is in this. Not too long ago, I was out like I normally am and doing errands and all that, and I felt that nudge of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? And I saw an individual and I thought, okay, God, how much do you want me to give him? And I opened up my wallet and I pulled out some money and I walked over and I put it in that man's hand. How many know what I'm talking about? You say, oh, that wasn't God. That was just something you decided. God might have been in that. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. I would lot rather to be in the flesh trying to do something for God, amen, than it be God and me to deny it and not do it. How many know what I'm talking about today? Amen. This may be God. This is God. That's what Jonathan was feeling. He was open for God to do the impossible. He's feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I love this. He says, maybe, just maybe, the Lord will work for us or work through us. Jonathan and his armor bearer, you know what they did? I love this. They stepped out on a maybe. They stepped out on a maybe, and you know what? They became a miracle. Oh, I want you to get that. They stepped out on a maybe and became part of a miracle. You know what they did? They stepped out, they went over the hill, and there was a Philistine army. And the Bible says that those two slew about 20 Philistines in a span of about a half an acre. How many realize that's a pretty concentrated bunch of Philistines? Amen? And these two men were able to be part of a miracle. Why? Because they said, perhaps God is in this. Maybe God will work for us. And they stepped out on a maybe. Hallelujah. And God did the impossible in them. Can I tell you today, when you and I step out on a maybe, when you and I step out on, I think this may be God, God's going to do something in your life. Hallelujah. Step out on a maybe and watch God do the impossible in you. Amen. Step out on a maybe and watch God do something incredible. Can you say amen? I got to tell you something about happened last night. I was afraid that Brother Allen was going to steal it from me. But I got to share it with you. We had a miracle take place right here Sunday night. Sunday night. You got to come back tonight to get what it is. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. I wouldn't do that to you. Let me tell you what happened Sunday night. We were gathered here together, and we had sang, we had worshiped, we were praying for people's needs. How many know what I'm talking about? And how many of you remember Nathan Todd, who came and preached for me when I first got here? Young man. Remember that? Well, I want you to know he's taken a little church in Kentucky. Are you ready for this? He took it. It had seven people. How many know you gotta have faith to take a church with seven people? Amen? But he said, I believe, Pastor Rick, this is what God wants me to do. He left a church making good money and took a church and making seven people. How many know there's not a lot of income with seven people? But God is blessing him. And God's, can I tell you something? They're up to over 40 people even now. And he's only been there a couple of months. Isn't that wonderful? That's a miracle. Give the Lord praise. Amen? But I found out that the parsonage that they have for him at that church is a mess. Are you ready for me? It's all the windows leak. The basement has been flooded out. The house is eat up with mold. How many know what I mean? And they were not even living in it. They were living in a travel trailer with two kids. How many know what I'm talking about? It was so small. The travel trailer was so small. They finally said, well, forget this. We're just going to have to move into the house. And they moved into the best room of the house that had the least amount of mold in it. And you know what? He says, we're just believing God. It was going to take over $3,000 just to replace the windows. It's going to take about $30,000 to get the house completely fixed. Well, that Sunday night, I shared that with the congregation. We had about 29 on Sunday night, which is not too shabby. Amen? And I shared that need. And I wasn't going to take an offering. I was just going to pray for him that God would send somebody else. You know what I'm talking about. We're good about that, aren't we? Let's pass the buck on to somebody else. But Brother Allen wouldn't let me get by with that. And Brother Allen said, well, Pastor Rick, he said, I heard a song the other day that says, you know, that we pray for a miracle. But he says, there already is a miracle. You're the miracle. God created you. He says, so I want to give. I want to give some to Pastor Nate so we can get his parsonage taken care of. You know what happened? Brother Allen felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. He felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Not only did Brother Allen feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit, but all across this congregation, people began to feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I started feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit. And you know what I said? I said to Brother Allen, I wasn't going to take an offering, but I really feel whatever the offering is, the church will match it. Okay? 29 people, maybe $1,000. Okay? Can I tell you something? We took the offering. And they brought me the results of the offering. Six thousand six hundred and some change. But it gets better. Because now I'm looking at that check and I said, oh God. I said I was going to match that. And I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit said? Are you going to be a man of your word? Are you going to be a man of your word and you're going to honor what you said you was going to do? You see, God knew that there'd be $6,000 even though I didn't know it. Amen? You know, I'm thinking, oh, a little bit here, a little bit there. But God put me to the test. That Sunday night, as God put me to the test and said, okay, old boy, what are you going to do? How many knows there's something inside of you? You just cannot not do that. How many realize that? I said, God, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to write a check. You know what we wrote a check to Pastor Nate? Are you ready for this? Hold on to your seats. $13,320 and some change. Did you hear that? $13,000. Hey, I didn't do that begrudgingly. I was so excited. I said, God, you've put me to the test. You put this church to the test. You nudged us with the Holy Spirit, oh God, and we're responding to you. And can I tell you something? When you and I respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, miracles begin to happen. And a miracle happened right here Sunday night, hallelujah, as we sent that $13,000 check to Pastor Nate. I called him that night. I said, listen, when you get this message, FaceTime me, because I wanted to see his face. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And I didn't call, and about an hour later, I get this phone call, and it's Pastor Nate online. I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? He says, we're doing good. And I said, listen, we took a little offering for you tonight. And Pastor Nate's like, oh, man, you shouldn't have done that, you know, and all that. I said, well, I said, we felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit, and we took a little offering for you. I said, we only had about 29 people there. And I said, you know what we collected? He said, what? And I said, we collected over $6,000. And his eyes bugged out about that big. He said, what? And I said, and I matched it with church funds. And I said, and we're sending you a check tomorrow for $13,000, hallelujah, $320. And he started crying. He started weeping. Hallelujah. His wife walks in and he says, tell her. He couldn't tell her. And I shared with her, and I love this. You know what she said? She goes, we've been praying for that. We've been praying about that. Can I tell you something? When you and I will respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, God will do something impossible. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something else. Not only was there a miracle here for Pastor Nate, hallelujah, in Kentucky, but can I tell you something? For every one of us who gave, amen, everyone who's contributed, there's a miracle knocking on our door. Oh, and listen for this. And you know what? There's a miracle knocking on the door for this church. There's a miracle knocking on this door for this church. Hallelujah. You see, because when I wrote that check, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, God, I am so excited about what you're doing for Pastor Nate. But I'm more excited about what you're going to do right here in our church. Hallelujah. Why? Because we expect the miracle. We expect the supernatural. We expect something supernatural to take place here when we honor you and do what you've asked us to do. We became part of the miracle. And in doing that, we set ourselves up for a miracle in our church. Hallelujah. I don't know what God's going to do, but I believe in the next few months, I believe that we're going to see such a move of God in this place. I believe that we're going to see new families come through these doors. I believe that we're going to see children begin to come to our ministries. Amen. Youth and children's ministry. We're going to see the power of God at work. Why? Because we felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit. You know what? There may be some people who say, well, Pastor Rick, you ought not to be writing that kind of check out to there. You know what I want to say? Why don't you just be quiet? Amen? And I don't mean that disrespectful. But let me tell you something. We need to hear from God. Amen? Listen, I'd a lot rather obey God than obey you. Amen? Amen. And as a result of that, God is going to rain upon us. Hallelujah. More. We have been blessed more, hallelujah, than we can even imagine. But God's got that much for us. How much more does He have for us? Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that. Can I tell you something else? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was open to the impossible. Amen? I've got to close here. I know it's getting late. But you know what? Mary, an angel shows up her and says, listen, Mary, you're going to conceive and bring forth a child. And you know what Mary says? How can this thing be? You may be saying the same thing. How can this be? And I love what the angel says. It says the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. You're going to conceive. That which is conceived in you is going to be holy. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know what Mary said? Listen to what Mary said. Mary says about this. He says, there's something that's going to happen to you, Mary, that's never happened before. But Mary was open to the possibilities. Amen. And you know what she said? Mary said this, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And you know what? She became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Our lives have been changed forever because of it. Amen. And we can't forget Joseph. Can you imagine? He finds out that the wife that he's fixing to marry is with child and he ain't the daddy. But what happens to him? An angel comes to him in his dream and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary unto thy wife, for what she has conceived in her is holy. You know what Joseph did? He said, maybe God, you're in this. It don't make sense to me, but maybe you're in this. And what did he do? He took Mary for his wife. Why? Because he was open. He was open for the supernatural. He was open for God to be. He said, maybe God is in this. Maybe God is in this. Oh, listen to me tonight, church. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but you need to be open to the fact that God wants to do something miraculous in your life. There's a miracle knocking at your door. Did you hear me? There's a miracle knocking at your door. All God asks you to do is to just consider the possibilities that maybe God is in this. Would you stand with me today? I don't know about you this morning, but I feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I believe that there is a knocking at your door even now. Hallelujah. Oh, God will do what you cannot do if you'll do what you can do today. Hallelujah. I want to ask you today, I want to ask you this morning, and I know time is slipping away, but I want to ask everyone in this place, if you need a miracle in your life, if you need a miracle in your home, if you need a miracle in your family, I believe a miracle is knocking at your door. And if you need a miracle this morning, I want to ask you to step out of your seat where you're at, and I want you to come to this altar. I want you to come, and I want you to stand. I want you to raise your hand today, and I want you to begin to say, Lord, hallelujah, I am ready. I am prepared to receive from you. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle, come right now. Don't wait. Come right now. You need a miracle. Hallelujah. You need a miracle in your life. I believe God is knocking on your door right now. Hallelujah. Come, just lift your hands to Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to thank Him right now that there's a miracle in the house today. There's a miracle in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of... Come in as close as you can. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in the house this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.